I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from isolation, self-protection, and shame. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I'm so grateful for you, Lord. I'm so grateful for your love, and I'm so grateful for the story that you've written for me, Father. I'm thankful that I can come here, Lord God, and just share what you've done in my life through divorce, Father. And I pray for the hearts of all the men and women that are in this room tonight and that are possibly walking through some of the most difficult times of their life. And so, Father, I just pray for comfort for them, Father. I pray that somehow my story and the way that you've worked in my story, Father, will be of comfort for them, Father. Lord, I just pray that my words would be yours, and I ask all of this in your name. Amen. So, memories of my life before placing my trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at age seven are very limited, because as far back as I can remember, God's Word was an important part of my life and upbringing. During my childhood, my family even lived as missionaries in a country in West Africa for a year. But what I would quickly learn is that being a child of God didn't mean that my life would be easy or that I wouldn't struggle. By the time I graduated high school, I had moved 13 times as a result of my dad's job. Relationships were difficult for me, and I began a life of isolation. My first real relationship in high school lasted for 4 years and was abusive in every way. It would take me almost 20 years to fully understand the impact of this relationship upon every aspect of my life. I carried a huge burden of shame, which I will unpack more during the remainder of my testimony. My family had always been my rock, so you can imagine how I felt at age 23 when my parents announced that they were getting a divorce. In some ways, I felt betrayed and definitely very confused. This was so contrary to my upbringing. Where was God? At age 25, things finally began to come together, or so I thought. I got married to a guy that I'd met in college. He was a believer. We dated almost 4 years, had a good friendship, and most importantly, at least to me at the time, he was safe, or AKA passive. I definitely felt more in control of this relationship than my previous one. Shame often seeks to control. And when my husband didn't fulfill my emotional needs, I withheld intimacy from him. Shame also hides. My marriage was defined by a continual cycle of me giving of myself and then pulling away when I was fearful that he or I were getting too close. What would he think if he really, really knew me? All my fears were confirmed when I found out that he had an addiction to pornography. The enemy spoke through my shame once again. I really was not enough to my husband. And rather than seeking the Lord, my Father, to find my significance, I began to look outside of my marriage, longing to be enough for someone, anyone. After 10 years of marriage, my husband gave up. In addition to all that I've shared so far, lack of communication, unresolved conflict, and isolation contributed further to the death of our marriage. And even though I had walked through my parents' divorce, I never knew just how painful and emotionally devastating it would be until I found myself there. After he filed, I didn't pursue him because shame told me I didn't deserve him or our marriage. During the time of separation, I felt rejected, unlovable, hurt, confused, and isolated from God. I was so lonely and depressed. So when a guy I just met began to take an interest in me, I took comfort in that. And before long, I found myself in a relationship with him. While there were moments that it seemed to help take my mind off of my pending divorce, all the pain was just underneath the surface. Not only was I not in a position to be in another relationship, as I was still married, I was also emotionally not capable. And I wasn't making good decisions. One sin led to another, which led to another. James 1:14-15 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. My life was spiraling out of control very quickly. We fought all the time and often had fights because he couldn't understand why I couldn't just get over my marriage. There were many unhealthy things in this relationship, including some verbal abuse, which resulted in much more heartache than I ever could have imagined. That was bad enough on its own, but I was layering it on top of the death of my marriage that I had not even really dealt with. I didn't realize it at the time, but this relationship just extended my healing process and actually made the pain worse for me. Not only was I struggling with shame from my past, but now I felt guilt and shame related to the choices I had made, and I felt like I deserved to be in this pain. Again, shame. My divorce was final in the fall of 2008, and as much as I tried to move on, to regain some sense of normalcy in my life, and even try to make this new relationship work, I was so broken. When I was around this other guy, I pretended to be okay so that we wouldn't fight about it, but I wasn't. I cried a lot in private. I even began to pray that God would take my life. That's when I knew I needed help. And as a believer, I knew that God was the only way. James 4:8 says to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I found my way to Watermark, sitting in the dark. I sat way up in the balcony where no one could see me or talk to me. But it was good to be in God's presence again. And shortly after, I began reading the Bible and really crying out to the Lord. He was working in me. After several months of quietly attending church, the Lord led me to divorce care in the spring of 2009 through an announcement in the Watermark News. I really thought by then I was in a better place. But when I sat down in our first small group meeting of divorce care, and it was my turn to introduce myself, I just broke down into tears that very first night. I still had a lot of emotions stuffed down inside. As the 13 weeks progressed, God continued to convict me and change my heart. Multiple times, the Lord confirmed in various ways, through his word, other people, and even divorce care, that his desire for me was to seek reconciliation. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus says, "All things are possible with God." So I knew I had to pursue reconciliation, and I had to change the relationship I was in at the time to do that. A major barrier to restoring any marriage is dating a third party. You cannot truly pursue reconciliation when someone else is involved. So early in April 2009, I broke off my relationship with the other guy and looked for opportunities to talk to my ex-husband. I finally decided to write him a letter, asking for forgiveness for everything I had done wrong in our marriage, and then sharing with him what God had placed on my heart regarding reconciliation. When I gave him that letter, there was a huge weight that was lifted from my shoulders. I honestly can still remember that to this day. I can't describe the peace that I felt in that moment, definitely the most peace I had known since my divorce. I knew without a doubt that I was being obedient to the Lord, probably for the first time in a long time. However, months went by, and I didn't hear anything back from him. In fact, he avoided any communication with me. And there were times I was very discouraged and felt alone, but I also knew that the Lord wanted me just to wait. Although my relationship with God was growing stronger, I still found myself being pulled back into a relationship with the other guy. Not in the same capacity as it was before, as I was trying to keep it as more of a friendship, but I was having a hard time completely letting go. The fighting only increased over time because I was trying to go backwards in a relationship and be just friends, and that's never easy once your relationship has passed that point. It wasn't until almost a year after that time that I finally gained the strength in Christ to completely sever the relationship. During all of this, God has done some amazing things in my life. As I became more and more obedient to him and began walking with him daily, true healing came. And while the door of reconciliation with my ex-husband was closed when he remarried in February 2010, God has continued to restore me and show me that he isn't finished with me yet. In 2012, I really began to process through my abuse and shame in Regeneration, a Christ-centered recovery ministry here at Watermark. It was painful and something that I had pushed to the darkest corners of my heart, but bringing everything into the light has brought incredible freedom and healing. God has faithfully continued to use all of my past, my mistakes, and my failures to teach me how to be more like Him. By extending me grace and comfort, God has given me the special opportunity to encourage others in the same way. As His Word teaches us in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The process to healing has not been easy, and I continue to learn and be sanctified along the way. Who would have thought that through all of this pain, the Lord would be preparing me to minister to others faced with divorce? And who would have thought that God would give me the opportunity, a woman consumed by shame and guilt, to minister to other women suffering with the same? But He has. And at the beginning of 2014, He made a way for me to be here on staff at Watermark as part of the community team, where I am blessed to minister to women daily. Still makes me emotional. Never in a million years would I have ever thought that I would be here. And if I were still living under the bondage of shame, I wouldn't be. But He is a God of redemption, and He is working all things for my good and His glory. I want to close with a few verses from one of my favorite passages in Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins anymore. Thank you for letting me share.